This is CICK News. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Dan Messick. Each week, we provide an update about events and issues developing right across Northwest BC. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. CICK Smithers Community Radio is on the dial at 93.9 FM, or you can listen online at smithersradio.com, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam Territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. On today's show, we speak with Dr. Karen Price. She and her colleagues Dave Doust and Dr. Rachel Holt have been working on a technical advisory panel on old-growth logging here in the province of BC. They have been advising the provincial government over the last month as to where deferrals in ancient and critical habitat within old-growth forests should take place. This week, the provincial government announced 2.6 million hectares of deferrals within old-growth habitat. We speak to her today a little bit about how that process unfolded and what comes next in protecting some of the most critical old-growth habitat here in British Columbia.
I'm Karen Price, and I am currently on a ferry traveling between Victoria and Vancouver, hence the engine noise.
Great. Karen, thanks so much for being with us today. Of course, the topic of the discussion is the announcement that came yesterday from the provincial government here in BC of them taking some action on old growth and deferring about 2.6 million hectares of old growth logging. You've been on the panel, the technical panel advising the government. Maybe you could break down for us a little bit about the process and the announcement that came yesterday.
Yes, I could do that. The Old Growth Technical Advisory Panel was struck to help the province implement some of the recommendations from the Old Growth Strategic Review Panel that came out over a year ago. And one of their specific recommendations was that we should defer harvest in the most at-risk old growth forests across the province. And so our group was invited to determine where in the province those at-risk old-growth forests are. So we have worked with provincial analysts and ecologists to come up with a methodology that we're all happy with to identify these old-growth forests, these at-risk old-growth forests on the land. We have identified the biggest remaining old-growth in each ecosystem across the province, as well as ancient forests, and as well as remnant ecosystems where there's less than 10% old growth left. We've also provided maps of intact watersheds that can be used for planning, as well as recruitment forests where there's just not enough old growth left to meet even the lowest targets that we need for resilience. So our group, along with the provincial folks that were helping us, have created these maps and come up with an area of 2.6 million hectares that we recommended as top priority old growth forest for harvest deferral. And the announcement yesterday released to the public our maps and also some of the numbers and some of our analyses and reports.
Now, can you explain to us what does the term deferral mean? Because these are deferrals in terms of logging those at-risk old growth, but it's not protection for those at-risk old growth. So maybe you can explain to us what's the definition of these deferrals and what can we expect to see long-term with these deferrals?
Yeah, absolutely. It's critical that people know that deferral does not mean protection. It sounds like a subtle point, but it's really important. A deferral means that if an area was going to be logged, that it will no longer be logged for a short period. The province talks about 2 to 4 years. After 4 years, they need to provide financial compensation. But before 4 years, there's no legal requirement for compensation. So the idea is that we're pausing harvest in these at-risk forests for 2 to 4 years to allow time for planning, for landscape planning that could then determine that some of these areas are going to be protected and some are going to be managed in a more ecologically careful manner. And so the deferrals are simply maintaining options, making sure that we've got some of these forests standing so that we can still make sensible decisions in landscape planning. And so these are the planning processes that are going to be going on, or some already are in a number of places of the province, processes that are First Nations led or collaborative First Nations, provincial government, local community processes to determine what they'd like the landscape in their region to look like.
Now, maybe you could also point out, you know, where are some of these areas? Obviously, you're based here in the Northwest, but it sounds like a lot of these areas are on the coast, in the coastal temperate rainforest, the old growth ancient rainforest. So maybe explain to us a little bit about where most of this 2.6 million hectares of deferrals will actually be.
Yes, well, they're distributed all the way across the province. So we didn't just want to defer the biggest forest in the province, which would be the coastal and inland temperate rainforest. So we wanted to make sure that we have a representation across all of the ecosystems of the province. And so this makes sure that we have representation across ecosystems and geographically. So that if you look at the map of deferrals, you'll see that it is scattered across the province, so that there are deferrals recommended in all regions. So yes, there are some on the coast, also some in the northwest, in the northeast, in the interior, in the south. They're in all of the ecosystems across the province.
Obviously, we have a number of concerns and also people who have been on this file looking at this story and following it along over the last little while here, especially what's been happening down in Fairy Creek. But here in the Northwest, could you describe or point out some of the specific areas that we might see deferred here in the Northwest area or in the North in general?
I'm not going to point out any areas specifically on the ground because, frankly, we just haven't had time to dive in that deeply. We've been working pretty hard at a provincial scale, at a strategic scale, to do this work, and we have not had the time that we would have liked to dive into individual regions. What I can say is that within each ecosystem in the Northwest, the deferral areas include the largest stands in each ecosystem. So if we're thinking about the Bulkley Valley, we have some subboreal spruce ecosystems, and the largest remaining old growth in those ecosystems would be up for deferral. If we look at the mountains, then the largest trees in those forests will be up for deferral. If we move closer to the coast, then we have some areas of ancient forests. These are centuries and millennia old, and so we have more of those in the wetter ecosystems. So once we get towards the coastal ecosystems in the Northwest, we're going to see more ancient forests that would be deferred. The proviso there is that our definitions of ancient come from the existing provincial inventory layer, and it's missing a lot of ancient forests. So there may be some areas, well, we know there are areas of ancient forests that are missed in our deferral maps, and so that's why we need these regional processes to look more closely at what's on the land, so that the people who walk the land every day can go, okay, well, these maps are useful, but they've missed this part that we know is really important, and they've suggested a deferral in this part, but actually we know that was logged 5 years ago and it just hasn't been updated. So that's why we need to move from this provincial scale based on inventory to regional landscape planning. I think that's probably all I can say specifically about the Northwest.
Sounds good. I guess the other question I had was, you know, you've been working on this for a while. You and your colleagues put out a paper last year kind of taking a look at the 3% of productive old growth that is across the province. And it was a bit of the impetus as to why you were invited to join this technical panel. So maybe tell me a little bit about the next steps. What happens from here? And does the work that you've been doing on the technical panel Is that going to continue, as you mentioned, over the next few years to really figure out and map out and find those places that can be protected?
Well, our work in the technical advisory panel has simply been to map areas that we recommend for deferral. So this is just the stopgap. And it's really important to know that this is just the first step on our way to a paradigm shift where we put ecosystem health and resilience as priority with timber as one of the values from forestry. And so the important piece is the paradigm shift. And that's what we're trying to work towards. And the deferral, we're hoping, will give us some time to put legislation and regulatory change so that we can do that. So, for example, removing the unduly clause where currently we're legally required to put timber first. So we need to work towards a paradigm shift. And as I said, this is just the start. So we need to get to the heavy work. And I'm hoping that the landscape planning that's going to come out of Nathan Cullen's work, dividing the forest ministry up into a landscape planning branch as well as the forest management branch, I'm hoping that that is going to help lead to the paradigm shift that we really need. We personally will continue our work, whether we'll be doing it with the provincial government or whether we'll be just doing it independently. I don't know right now, but definitely we have plans for further maps of resilient forests and maps of forests that are carbon dense, so that can be used for climate planning. We've just been waiting to finish this process to get on with creating some of those maps.
One other thing I wanted to touch upon was there was a report that was put out, as some of our listeners might know, the old growth review panel that was again issued in 2020. That was the Gourley and Merkel report, and in that report they had the 14 recommendations of what they felt that was needed by the provincial government to ensure that some of these high productive old growth forests remain. What do you feel, what's your take on those 14 recommendations, and if any of them will be included in what we've discussed here today?
So the government has committed to implementing all 14 recommendations, and I believe they intend to do so. The most important of those recommendations, I think, beyond the requirement for consultation, which the province is required to do anyways, is the one for the paradigm shift to ecosystem health and resilience as a top priority for management. That's a really difficult thing to do. I think the government is still trying to work out how they will achieve that. I would say that with the deferrals today, we've dealt with, this is recommendation number 6 in the Gourley Merkel Old Growth Review Panel recommendations. So we now have recommendation 6. At least we have an intent. We have yet to see any deferrals on the ground. So I'm looking forward over the next month to actually see implementation of our recommendations. The work that we've done on the panel, we've been able to make information on the amount of old growth more available publicly. So, for example, we reanalyzed the amount of old growth in the province and went from the province's number of 13.7 million hectares to 11.1 million hectares. So we lost 2.5 million hectares old growth because the province hadn't updated its inventory to reclassify areas that were burned or disturbed by mountain pine beetle, and in some cases harvested. So we are also working on recommendation number 5 in making information more available to the public. So our work has dealt with those 2 recommendations, and our work is, as I said, it's the first step in recommendation number 2, dealing with ecosystem health. So those are the recommendations that I've been involved in. I know that the province is working on many of the others, and recommendation number one. So we know that they're working on a number of these.
You know, Karen, one of the things that crosses my mind that, you know, we've spoken about this several times now. You've been working in this realm of, on forest ecology for quite some time, over, you know, 25 years. There's mountains of data that you and your colleagues go through to make sure that you know, cross the T's and dot the I's, so to speak, and make sure that it's the most up-to-date, as you just described. What was the process like for you and Dave Doust and Rachel Holt and others that you've worked with? What is that process like to actually go through this raw data? I feel like it must be very tedious and time-consuming, but maybe you can give us a little insight as to, you know, what it's like to actually go through that data.
Well, I mean, I will say that Dave did most of the combing through the data. He's our modeler and GIS analyst and mapper. So he's the one that ended up looking at the data and figuring out which bits were missing and putting it together and doing that repeatedly. I will say that it's been a lot of work. We have been, Rachel, Dave, and I have been working fairly solidly since we were appointed to this panel. Most of our other projects we've put aside. So it has been intense. It's also fascinating and stimulating because when the province asks us to prioritize, we have to come up with new methods to do that. It's always exciting when you get to come up with new methodology and test that out and think about solutions to difficult problems. And so it's been, I would say, intense and rewarding, and at times frustrating. Yeah. Oh, there's Barry. We're in active pass. You can hear we just passed another ferry. So yes, you may have missed that last bit. What was I saying? That it's intense and rewarding, and also can be frustrating. Part of the challenge has been that it's not just the three of us, that we're also working with government. So we have to, the provincial government, we have to ensure that everybody is happy with the methods and that everybody understands what we've done. And there have been some of the provincial staff have been really helpful in making sure that we are clear about things, and that's really great. It does mean that when we're working with a bigger group like that, it takes a bit longer, and not everybody works 14-hour days.
Finally, Karen, of course, you know, you've done this work, you've been on the panel, you've put your recommendations forward, we see the results with these deferrals, but, you know, as we've spoken before about this, how do you feel that the outcomes that have been achieved here, has the objective that you and your colleagues and the technical panel originally set out to do, have those objectives been achieved with these deferrals and this announcement yesterday?
The intent has been achieved, but as I mentioned, we have yet to see any deferrals on the ground. So there are no trees standing today that would otherwise have been cut down. So I'm looking forward to the next month to see whether the government is able to actually implement the intent for deferrals. And then I will know if we have achieved success. Now, it's important. One thing that is important to note is, although the recommendation is for 2.6 million hectares of deferral, in BC, we only harvest about 55,000 hectares of old growth annually. And so it's not as though we're looking for official legal deferrals of 2.6 million hectares. Likely there will be less than 100,000 hectares of area that will be influenced by these deferrals. So it's much smaller area than the 2.6 million that we're looking at. And we will only know over the next month whether there are forests that remain standing that wouldn't have otherwise. So what I can say is that I believe we've achieved an intent. The province has the intent to defer, but we have yet to see any of that implemented. We were a little disappointed that the province didn't choose deferral as the default, but they chose to retain status quo, which means that unfortunately we still are in a position of talk and log until the deferrals actually are implemented. So we're waiting, and we'll know over the next month whether they will have implemented the recommendations.
Okay, Dr. Karen Price, thank you so much for your time today. I believe those are all the questions I had. Good work, and we look forward to seeing what comes next.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Dan.
Okay, you take care on that ferry.
Yeah, thank you. Enjoy your day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Dr. Karen Price speaking about her work on the Provincial Old Growth Technical Advisory Panel. She and her colleagues Dave Doust, as well as Rachel Holt and others, have been advising the provincial government as to where deferrals of old growth logging should take place across the province. The provincial government announced this week that 2.6 million hectares of critical old growth would be deferred in terms of logging operations in those areas. However, it remains to be seen exactly which areas will remain protected long term. As Price mentioned, that work is ongoing, and we should see those results over the next few years. Thanks again for tuning in to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at skeenastrong.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks again to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters. I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.